We're following a week behind them. So tonight is Mastering the Art of Communication. I like the Henry Thoreau quote. It takes two to speak the truth. One to speak and the other to listen. How many of you know you can't communicate if two people are talking at once? You just can't do it. I helped with the Chamber of Commerce thing this week. What they were doing is recruiting new members into the Chamber of Commerce. And they brought in this dude, and I wish you could see him. He was wearing he had a different color suit on every day. One day it was about that color right there. Today it was a blue looking thing, and I think it was purple the day that I did it. And he is Mr. Enthusiast. He reminded me of a televangelist. I mean, but he was more enthusiastic than a televangelist, motivational speaker. And he'd be talking to us, and somebody would be talking, "Uh-oh, you're talking. Give me a push-up." And he knew that if he was talking and somebody else was talking, the communication wasn't going on. So when it comes to communicating, it takes somebody to talk and somebody to listen. And this is what we have to learn when it comes to communication. Communication is powerful. It really is. It has the power to start a war or end a war. To make or break a marriage. Communication is one of the biggies when it comes to marriage. Communication or the lack of communication. To close $1 million bill or a deal, or to lose it to a competitor. To build or destroy a friendship. To create intimacy with God or to build a wall between you and God. Communication is something that's important. And we know that communication is a two-way street. It goes this way, it goes this way. It goes this way, it goes this way. Communication is painting a picture in other people's minds. Whose responsibility is it to get people to understand? Whose responsibility is it to get people to understand? It's mine. This is a dialogue. No, this is a monologue tonight. This is not a dialogue. Life groups are monologues. This is a dialogue. I talk, you listen. Okay? So if I catch you talking, I'm going to say, "All right, push up. Don't you talk, push up." Okay? So, but when we communicate with people, we're painting pictures in their mind. And we do it with words. So on my part, if I'm going to be a skillful communicator, the things that I say to you have to paint a picture in your mind. If they don't, you're not going to get it. In the book, there was a letter or a story about a guy who had written a theological treatise. And he had one of his friends to read it, to give him any suggestions about it. And here's the letter he wrote to him. "Dear Mr. Niebuhr, I understand every word you have written, but I don't understand one sentence." I thought that was interesting. I understood every word you have written, but I don't understand one sentence. People can use words sometimes, but they don't always communicate. Isn't that true? Have you ever had somebody get up and talk about something and you think, "What did they say?" How important is communication? And when it comes to, you know, we're talking about finding purpose for our lives. You know, we're trying to discover what our vision for our life is. We're learning to develop the ways of a winner. We're learning to think right. If you don't think right, you're not going to act right. But we're also going to have to master the art of communication. In my profession, it's life and death. You as a parent, it's life and death. You in a marriage, it's life and death. If you are in sales, it's life and death. Communication is something that we all have to be able to do. And it's a... It's our responsibility to determine where others around us are understanding what we're saying. Sometimes I'm teaching and I'm looking out. I'm looking in eyes. I'm looking in eyes when they're open. And I'm trying to determine, am I communicating? Am I connecting? Are we getting through? And it's so refreshing when you look out and you see a light come on in somebody's eyes. You think, oh yeah, I've communicated with that person. You know, if you see somebody out there doing this, fidgeting around, putting her coat on, or perfect illustration. No. If they're doing this, you know that you probably hadn't gotten through at all. I've had that happen. I won't tell that story. Okay. The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. That's pretty good, isn't it? You can say the right thing or you can almost say the right thing. And it's the difference between lightning or a lightning bug. It can either be powerful or it can fizzle. Okay. So learning how to speak and when to speak are critical keys to effective communication. You know, there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. Boy, we need to learn that. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear as the learned." How many times has someone spoken to you who were right in terms of what was being said, but the way that it was said was just a total turnoff? Have you ever had anybody trying to give you instruction or encouragement and they almost just backhanded you? They were trying to give you a compliment, but the way they said it, it was just a total turnoff. Now, don't look at the person who did that now, okay? But we not only do we know what to need to know when to say, what to say, how to say, but to say things right. And if we got time, we're going to talk about different things because it's more than just words. There's other things that comes in involved with it too. Let me read you a little story. It comes out of your book. Communication is much more than words spoken. Years ago, a woman traveled to Paris and found a beautiful piece of jewelry she wanted to buy. She wired her husband saying, "I found the necklace of my dreams. It only costs $5,000. Can I buy it?" Her husband wired back, "No, price too high." But when the wire service operator sent the message, the comma was left out. It read, "No price too high." Omitting that comma caused quite a stir when she returned home wearing the necklace. Sometimes the emphasis that we put on something makes the difference in the way that we communicate, how we say something. I have said things to my wife, and she told me what I meant. By what I said, or the way that I said. It's not what you said, it's the way that you... She thinks she can read my mind. Oh. You better wait. Okay, now there's three levels of communication. Number one, communicating with those above us. This would have to do with people that maybe you work for. Okay? Then there are those around us. Those are people that we're on the same level with as far as peers and friends. And then there are those who are under us. Maybe people who work for us or people that we have influence over. Or we might say those above us in the Lord, or those around us in the Lord, or those who are not as spiritually mature as we are. The way that you communicate as a Christian many times, you need to consider what the relationship is that you're talking to. Are you talking to someone who is above you? Are you talking to someone who is your equal? And I'm talking about on the same spiritual plane. Are you talking to someone who is below you spiritually? That will determine how you communicate with people. See, just opening your mouth and beginning to talk is not learning about communication. There's so many things that come into play. Proverbs 16:23 says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." Sometimes we need to learn to listen to our heart. Sometimes the Lord says, "Shut your mouth. Your opinion is not needed. It will not be received. You will be misunderstood. They will think that you're judging them." But many times we open mouth and blab when we ought to be quiet. And there's times that we ought to say something and we keep quiet. Well, I don't know how they're going to receive it. So the Bible tells, if you'll listen to your heart, it'll instruct your mouth. Do you know that your spirit man knows more than your head knows? You do know that you got three parts, don't you? I mean, major parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is the real you. It's the part that knows God. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your body is this physical organ that we can touch. Your three parts. And it says that the heart or the spirit will instruct you. It will tell you, and it will, sometimes you'll get something, say, "Hush, don't say anything." You get something, "Speak." So learning to communicate sometimes has to do with listening to what God is trying to tell us. To be an effective communicator at any level, put yourself in the other person's seat. Consider how each one thinks and feels and where each one is coming from in that particular situation. You know, a lot of times we talk from our perspective. Sometimes we need to put ourselves where somebody else is. Sometimes we don't have much sympathy for what people are going through. And this, I'm not saying these things from the standpoint of an expert, because some of these things, if I've got time, and I may just dawdle around so I don't get to them, but they really convict me when it comes to communication. Because I'm not perfect at communication. There are times that I break some of these rules or these guidelines of communication. Philemon 1:6 says, "And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus, unto His glory." Wow, we need to be aware that filling our hearts full of the Word of God and God dealing with our spirit will help us to know when to talk, not to talk, and it can come out of us. You communicate the gospel differently to a believer and an unbeliever. You know, most of you who have been here for any length of time, I could say, okay, tonight we're going to talk about the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. If you said that on Biker Sunday, what'd he say? What's he talking about? Redemption in Christ Jesus. What's in Christ Jesus? I know who Jesus is, but redemption? What's redemption? You communicate differently depending on who you're talking to. Whether a believer, and that would be a more mature believer, a believer maybe that you have a connection with, that you have communicated with, somebody maybe that you don't know. There are people who go to different kinds of churches that you communicate different with. If you learn, you don't go into a Church of Christ church and say, "Pastor." That is not kosher. You do not say that in a Church of Christ church. They are not pastors. They are ministers. If you don't know that, you don't know how to communicate. See, a lot of times we just want to open our mouth and just tell everything that we know. You know. No, we need to be wise. We need to have the tongue of the learned. That means that we're going to have to learn some stuff, okay, on how to communicate. And an unbeliever, you need to talk on a level that they can understand. It's my responsibility for you to understand. And that's why, as a pastor in a church of diversity that we have here, people on all different levels of spirituality. You know, I've had some people come to me and say, "Pastor, why don't you get into the meat?" And I want to say some things sometimes. You know, just you wouldn't know. I want to say you wouldn't know meat if it slapped you in the butt. I said butt, didn't I? Shouldn't say butt in church, but I did. You have to be able to speak to all people. And I'm convinced that the deep things of God are pretty simple. But we think that meat is throwing theological terminology around. You know, the unveiling of the weos. How many of you know what I just said? I knew what I said. The unveiling of the matured sons of God. The unveiling of the weos. You didn't know, you didn't have a clue what I said. So what, I mean, that sounds, deep. No, it's not deep if it's not understood. Okay? So in a diverse church, you have to talk to people on levels that they are on. And try to minister to people on every level of understanding. So part of this is just communication. Okay? So you talk to a believer one way, you talk to an unbeliever the other way. I try to tell our special speakers, especially like when we do Biker Sunday, where we got a whole lot of folks here that don't know the Lord, or they're not very deep in the Lord. Some of them are not saved. Some of them are not even interested in being saved. I tell them, forget about the church. Don't talk to the church. Talk to these bikers. Minister to these bikers. This is an outreach to bikers. Talk to bikers. And you know what? We have had very few of our speakers on Biker Sunday that talk to our bikers. And it's a communication problem. I don't say that to their detriment. They just don't get it. When you're around church people all the time, you talk church talk. We develop a lingo and a language that if you're not around that, people come in and you say something that everybody that's been there a while understands, and you know, and this guy looks at his wife and says, "What'd they say? What'd that mean?" They almost need a book to decipher what you're trying to say. And in my opinion, we shouldn't teach like that. We should try to use language that the average person on the street, whether he be a believer or unbeliever, can understand what we're talking about. Amen? Okay. Five lessons about communication. Number one, I got 5 minutes. I can spend a minute on each one of these. Miscommunication has the potential to change relationships. How important is it that we be understood? Miscommunication has the potential to change relationships. If Kathy and I are talking and she's wanting to talk and I act like I'm not paying attention, I mean, you know, that could be a miscommunication. I may be listening, but I may not be looking. That can change a relationship in a hurry. She can go from happy to mad. Okay? I've seen her do that. And I'm a dog when that happens. You know, some of you guys, and you're not gonna flinch at all. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm speaking from the guy perspective. I know we got the communication thing down. Okay. I know. That which can be misunderstood will be misunderstood. Isn't that true? We need to really understand the power of our words. Proverbs 18:20 says, From the fruit of his mouth a man's stomach will be filled. With the harvest from his lips he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You're either going to, by the words of your mouth, you're going to eat life or death. Be careful what you say. Make sure that you are being understood when you communicate. Amen. Number two, when you go through someone else to get your message across, there is potential for problems. If we had time, we'd play the gossip game tonight. I would whisper a story in Jerry's ear one time. He would turn and he'd whisper it in Nancy's ear. She'd pass it on down the line, and the last person would stand up and tell the story. Have you ever played that game? How much difference is there is when the story began and the ending story? When we start passing things through people to get to someone else, what happens? I have seen this happen a whole lot in this church. I have. I've seen this happen a whole lot in this church. Somebody would be just torqued at me because somebody said that I said. And I thought, that's not what I said. What I said was this. Okay? Or I could say, now David, you tell Carrie. Well, I've learned you don't tell Carrie. No. David's learned you don't tell Carrie anything. You suggest. Okay? But you're having the potential for miscommunication when you pass through other people, huh? When you want to make a point, who is the best communicator? You are. Now I've done this before. I know. I mean, I've messed this one up big time before. Okay. Number three, don't let things fester. Don't let things fester. The longer they fester, the sorer they get. Molehills have ways to become mountains when we let things fester. Ephesians 4:26-27. When angry, do not sin. How many of you know when you're mad, you just don't make good decisions? You know the first thing you ought to do when you get mad is clamp your mouth. What's the first thing you want to do? You want to spew venom. You want to puke it out. I mean, okay? Do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. You may have to step off, get your composure, and then communicate. But you just can't allow it to fester. Number four, what you don't say can have as much impact as what you do say. A picture is worth a thousand words. And this is where wives tend to look at husbands and read in to what they say. Put the commas on. Like facial expressions. Yeah, you said that, but your face didn't show that. Body language. How about if you go? You don't ever want to do that in conflict. Roll your eyes. Don't turn the TV up either. How about raising the eyebrows? You have to be careful because sometimes you project something that's different than what you're saying with your mouth. What about the look? Have you ever got the look before? You're getting the look now? Nancy, let me see the look. I remember when I was a kid and I would show out in church. I'd look over at my dad and he'd give me the look, boy. Straighten up, and when I get you home, I'm going to kill you. He didn't say a word, but I could see the look, and I knew what the look meant. He was a good communicator. We communicate 7% by words, 38% by the tone of the voice, 55% through visual, nonverbal skills. Picture paints 1,000 words. So when you choose your words, choose how you say your words. Number 5, it's not always what we say, it's what we allow others to say. Sometimes you're laying down the law and there's no discussion. It's black and white, end of discussion, no talking. Yeah, you're communicating all right. All right, let's talk about some 5 keys to listening. We'll be done. Number 1, and this is where I mess up sometimes. Real hearing is stopping whatever you're doing and looking directly at the person who is speaking to you. Ooh. Do you ever violate that one? Now, sometimes I do this on purpose. If I'm out front greeting and you walk up and want to discuss something, an event, can we put this on? I'm not going to pay much attention to you because I'm not out there to do that. I'm out there to greet people and talk to people. That's not the time to do that. So I'm probably going to violate that one. I'm going to put you off as fast as I can. I may talk to you and you think, well, you know, he didn't pay much attention. I did that on purpose. But I got to learn that when I am paying attention, that I need to pay attention. Okay? I need to stop what I'm doing and, okay, talk to me. You know? Number 2, real hearing is listening to what the person is saying instead of thinking what you're going to say next. Now this is something that a lot of us do. David's telling me something, and I'm thinking, that's not right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to come back with. And I quit listening when I did that. When I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next, what do I need to be doing? I need to let them express what they're going to say. See, we speak about, this is men probably, men speak about 150 words a minute. We think at about 600 words per minute. So we think about 4 times faster than we speak. Now women probably speak 6. No, I don't know. I don't have any stats. I'm picking on women. I love women. Okay. You know why I love women? Because they get most of the things done in the church to get done. Okay. See, I got all the women on my side now. Woo! But that happens to be true. Men do things too, but women are really get something done. Number 3. Real hearing is making eye contact with the person who's talking to you. I mean, have you ever talked to someone and they're looking over your shoulder? I do that sometimes. Sometimes I do it on purpose. Especially if I'm greeting out there. Because I'm not wanting to hold long conversations with people. I'm wanting to talk to as many people as I can. See, my goal and the reason that I'm trying to set the example of what a greeter ought to be like. And for me and Jerry to stand at the door and visit with one another, and people walking past us, and all we're doing is fanning doors for them, is not greeting. I'm wanting to make contact. I want to learn names. I want to be, next time they come, I want to be able to say, "Hi, Randy, how are you today?" That doesn't impress you when people can remember your name? I got to work on that one. That's tough. As many new people as we've had in the last few weeks, it's hard. But I want, it's embarrassing. Sunday morning, I walked off the platform. "Have I met you?" "Yes. My name is such and such and such and such. I was here last..." I'm thinking, "Oh, you idiot." But, you know, it happens. So I thought, well, that's the way I do sometimes. But real hearing is making eye contact. Looking them in the eye. Number four, real hearing is being attentive. Paying attention to what they're saying. Number five, and we're going to quit with this one. Real hearing is less about speaking and more about listening to understand. You're going to be a good listener. You're going to have to listen to what people are saying. Try to understand what they're saying. Here's a tool that you can use as a speaker, or if you're giving somebody instructions. I'm telling Carrie something that I want her to remember, and I say, "Now, Carrie, tell me what I just said." Okay? And that way, if she can tell back what I said, I know that she understood what I said. That's a good tool. You don't need to say that in a way that you make them feel dumb, or that you don't trust them. But so that we know that we're on the same page, Carrie, tell me what I just said. Because I speak as a man, she hears as a woman. Okay? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Isn't that right? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Men say what they're thinking and women interpret what we said and what we meant. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that as chauvinist. I'm saying that from the male perspective. Okay? Oh yeah, they put the words in your mouth and then get mad at you for saying it. Okay.
Y'all are burying yourself. Oh, I'm going to make an announcement.
Hold on.
Whatever you're done, bashing women.
I ain't bashing women. Did I bash any women? Everybody understood what I said, didn't they? Okay. See, now she interpreted what I just said. I bashed women. How many of you think I bashed women? Devon bashed women. Thought I bashed women. No. But we do. Men and women communicate differently. Women are more intuitive. Men are just... I think I bashed men more than I did women tonight, to tell you the truth. How many of you guys think I bashed men?
That's what,
yeah, bludgeon. Okay, make your announcement. If we don't give her any power, just let her make her. Okay.
Is it on?
Okay. Yeah.
To wrap all this up, I need to speak with the ladies that are.